The scripture reading this morning is John 10, verses 1 through 21, and you can find this in your pew Bible on page 1040. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you. Will you join me in prayer once again? Father, it comforts our souls to know that as we lift our hearts to you, you recognize our voices. Lord, we just recognized your voice. We heard you as Zach was reading. Lord, you are our good shepherd. You're still speaking to us. You're still calling us to yourself. Father, give us faith to believe this. Lord, when you said these words, some of the people around you thought you had a demon. Father, these words are so deep and simply profound. Please, Holy Spirit, open our hearts that we might believe. That we might realize that we are yours and that you are ours. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Skip has asked Pete Dyson and I guess I should say Dr. Dyson. It's the way he prefers to be called. But the most honorable Dr. Dyson and I will be preaching this month. And we have decided to give you a series. Sometimes when you come in July and Skip isn't here, I guess I should say Dr. Ryan isn't here, we many times have a bit of a hodgepodge thematic worship service. And as Pete and I were thinking and praying together over the last couple months, we decided to do a series on covenant blessings. Pete would take the Old Testament text, since he's closer to the age of the prophets, and I would take the New Testament text for obvious reasons. Now, the covenant blessing I would love to speak about this morning is the blessing of knowing God. You know, there's a beautiful verse in Genesis 15 where the Lord God says, "I am your shield and your great reward." And it's wonderful to think, oh, okay, let's talk about a shield. And let's talk about how a shield in those days didn't just protect the front of the body, but it actually surrounded. And, oh, let's talk about a great reward. But you know what's richer than the Lord describing himself as a shield or a great reward? He says, "I am." It's me. I am yours. I am your shield and your great reward. The beauty of knowing God. We don't just know him as a shield. We don't just know him as a great reward. So many of us cling to the promises of God. And you know, that's beautiful, really. It's wonderful to cling to the promises of God. But could I encourage you to cling to the one who fulfilled the promises of God? So many people miss Jesus Christ by clinging to the promises of God. It sounds ironic, doesn't it? Sounds nearly impossible. Jesus is the promise. Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows us, and we know him. How does this happen? About a year ago, I had an assistant. Her name was Jeannie Cox, married to John Cox. And Jeannie came to visit last week, and we had a wonderful visit. And she brought her little daughter, Caitlin. I call her Katie. And when Jeannie walked in the office, she wanted to announce great news. She is pregnant again, and she's so excited, and she couldn't wait to tell us. And little Katie was kind of wandering around our office. And unfortunately, I was on the phone when Jeannie came in, and I didn't really see her. I had my back to the door, and I was talking, and then I turned around, and I saw Jeannie, and I said, "Jeannie!" And immediately, Katie turned on her heel. Little Katie, two-year-old little Katie. I've never met the little one before. When she was born 2 years ago, we were on a Florida trip with the high school students. I still remember talking to Jeannie in the hospital from Florida. I was so excited that she had little Katie. Somehow, Katie knew my voice, and we got to thinking about it. All the time Jeannie was working in the office, little Katie was in her room. And so Katie knew my voice before she was ever born. And when she heard me say, "Jeannie," she stopped and turned immediately. She knew my voice even before she was born. Do you know that we are Christ's sheep before we are ever born. And then we hear his voice. We hear his call upon our lives, and we begin to realize that we are his sheep, that we are his children. He tunes our hearts while he is knitting us together in our mother's womb to hear his voice. So I have a two-point sermon for you this morning. The effectual call of our shepherd causes us to know him. And the second point is the affectionate call of our shepherd causes us to love him. So we'll talk about the effectual and affectionate call of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now immediately, I want you to return your eye to the text, if you will. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. So God knows us, and we know God. Now, something has to happen in a person's life to move them from knowing about God to knowing God. Do you know, in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, we have a wonderful tradition of teaching doctrinal truth. How could we not teach what the Bible teaches about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and man? We're under conviction that we have no other option but to do so. So we seek to stack up doctrinal truths about God, almost as if we were building a log cabin, each log being a doctrinal truth about the Lord. Remember when you were in school and you had to do some sort of a project? I built a log cabin out of long pretzels. It was probably Abraham Lincoln's abode. And I put that together, and systematically, pretzel or log by log, I built that little house. And that's what we seek to do when we come before the Lord daily and corporately as we come weekly. We seek to build doctrinal truth upon doctrinal truth, what we know and believe about the Lord Jesus Christ based on His Word. But do you know what? It is not enough to know about God. There are folks who know so much more about God than I do. And yet they don't believe it. They don't believe it. I remember when I went to Wheaton College back in 1977. And I had only known the Lord for about a year. And when I went into the Bible classes at Wheaton College, a lot of the students were just kind of sitting there listening to the guy talk about the Old Testament. Abram and Sarah and Isaac and just listing all. And the kids are just kind of leaning back. And I'm there with my pencil, writing as fast and as furiously as possible. I've never heard any of this. He starts talking about in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned. And I could not wait for him to get to the next point, because I figured, God said, if you sin, I'm going to destroy you. Anxiously hanging on every word. You can know a lot about God and not believe in God. Jesus is talking about knowing God. He's talking about revealing Himself to His people by effectually calling them. He speaks in such a way that our hearts respond to Him. He has, from before we were born, tuned our hearts to hear His voice. Let's just stop for a moment. Tim Keller tells a wonderful story about a man walking through New York City. And he said, you hear what you listen for. They were walking along, and he was trying to get this man to hear a particular bird that happened to be singing on the streets of Manhattan that day. And as it turned out, they did hear the bird. And they heard that beautiful noise, but nobody else noticed. And Tim Keller reached into his pocket and he pulled out a handful of change. And he said, watch the way people respond when I drop this money. They're not hearing the bird, but, and he dropped the money, ding, 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 all over the sidewalk. And a number of people stopped and looked. Are you tuned to God's voice today? Do you know many of us who boast of being His disciples fight fiercely against His voice on a daily basis? We boast in knowing Him, and yet we fight against His will. We complain about the weather. We're frustrated with our particular situation in life. Do you hear His voice? And how do you respond to His voice? I was so convicted this week, realizing that I often listen to the voice of God with utter indifference. When you read your scriptures in the morning, You're hearing his voice. He speaks to us in his word, and then we respond and speak to him in prayer. How do you respond to his voice? When I was a little boy, my father would tell me to sit down and shut up. And if I did not immediately sit down and shut up, my disobedience was met with consequences. The Lord Jesus Christ commands us to hear his voice. And he commands us to respond to him. Do you know, as a pastor, I invite people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know he commands people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? He has the authority to command you at this very moment to believe in him and who he is. He is a mighty God who does mighty deeds. Would you turn in your Bible with me to Ezekiel chapter 37? Ezekiel chapter 37. If you're new to the Bible, it's more toward the middle. You can go to Psalms and take a right if that helps you. It's in between Psalms and the New Testament. And if you're so new, you need the table of contents. The Lord bless you that you need to open to the front of the Bible and find out where the book of Ezekiel is. We are so thrilled that you would be here, that you would be here. And maybe for the first time in your life, you're hearing the word of God. Quite frankly, brothers and sisters, there are wolves within the flock, and there are sheep outside of the fold. And so when we look at Ezekiel 37, would you ask God to open your heart that you might not hear his word with indifference or with ignorance, but that we might hear his word with such understanding that our lives would never be the same. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Listen to the next phrase. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. The Lord God speaks and brings people to life. A number of you ask. In fact, I had three opportunities this last week. People literally walked up to me and either said, "What does it mean to be saved?" or "How can I become a Christian?" It was like a golf vacation for some of you. It was so delightful to explain the doctrines of grace, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are dead in our sin. And our only hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know what? Those folks, as they heard the word, they believed. Hallelujah! They believed. That was the mighty work of God on their behalf. They know God. They know their shepherd. And their shepherd knows them. His voice is effective. How are we responding to his voice, little lambs? Do you hear his voice now? Little lamb of God, do you hear him calling you? Maybe you have known the Lord for many years, but you're walking indifferently with him. Little lamb of God, breathe a prayer of confession. Admit what a fool you have been. The shepherd is a person. The shepherd speaks. And his sheep hear his voice. And they follow him. It's an effective call. The shepherd also has an affectionate call. He has an effective call and an affectionate call. He calls us out of love. Do you know, I still remember when I would go to baseball games as a high school student, my little brother, Paul David, was just a tiny little guy. And he would come to the baseball games. And I'm surrounded with athletes who are just, they have guns hanging out of their sleeves and their chins are chiseled and their jaws are set and they've got chewing tobacco in their jaws, and I'm stepping up just trying to look as tough as I can possibly look against this pitcher. And from the middle of the stands comes, "Hit a home run, Timmy." It just kind of takes the edge off of the competitive moment. Do you know, I could hear the love of his voice. It's so beautiful to hear a person speak to you who loves you. Do you know, there are people who genuinely hate you in this world. They hate you. You have wronged them. But do you know, there are few in this world who genuinely love you. And the Good Shepherd loves you. He calls you with affection. He calls out to his people. He says, "Come to me. Come to me. You're weary. You're heavy laden. This world has taken you. And it has either ground you up, or you have succeeded in this world. And even in your success, you have found yourself to be empty." Little lamb of God, do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd calling to you? Calling to you. He has the freest love in the world. His love is free for you and for me because we have nothing to offer him. You might be a beautiful young lady, and when men stop to give you a hand with your grocery cart, the greatest interest of their heart might not be for your good because you're attractive to them. Do you know there's nothing attractive in us that would draw the Lord to us? He doesn't look down from heaven right now and think, oh, there are a number of people seated in that church who have the right zip code. Holy Spirit, race to them that I might know them. We have nothing that would draw the Lord to us. His love is the freest love you will ever know, because He comes to us because He desires us, not because of anything we have to offer Him. His love for us is the truest love, because when you are in prosperity, you have many friends. But like Job, you compare your whimsical friends to the ice on the brook, which melts away in the heat of the day. The Lord Jesus Christ has a love for you which will never melt away in the heat of the day. In fact, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ manifests itself in such strength when you are in the midst of trouble and trials. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is the strongest love you will ever know. It's the freest, it's the purest, it's the strongest. Do you know that not even death will separate you from the love of Christ? You know, one of the saddest days I think about in the future is the day that my wife passes away. It will be a very sad day. A number of you have experienced that in our congregation. And as an under-shepherd of the flock, I've had the privilege of experiencing it with you. And it is a sad day. Do you know that you will never experience that in the Lord Jesus Christ, because His love is the strongest love you will ever know? His love for you was expressed in the past. It's being expressed right now in the present, and it will also be expressed in the future. Think about the ways the Lord has loved you in the past. Think about what the Lord has done for you. It was the love of Christ which made Him fulfill all the righteousness that we needed. He yielded perfect obedience to the law, both morally and ceremonially. He fulfilled the law for us. It's the love of Christ for us that did not allow Him to give in to the temptations of the evil one. It's the love of Christ that caused Him to lay His life down for us. I could go on and on about what Christ has done in the past. Think about what Christ is doing right now. Do you know right now, little Lamb of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you? The great shepherd is praying for His flock? It's humbling when someone prays for you. Yesterday, I had a wonderful time of prayer with two of my brothers, and they were praying for me, and I was praying for them, and the tears just welled up in my eyes because they were praying for me. They were loving me. It was tender to think of a person who's praying for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you right now, little Lamb of God. He's lifting you before the Father. And do you know His work isn't done just today? Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, He will do work in the future for you? He'll continue to sustain you? And do you know that on the day you die, the Lord Jesus Christ will be there to greet you? You'll never be without Him. You know, it's scary to die. Each evening, a number of you struggle with going to sleep because that sleep is almost like a death. Little Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ will be there with you. Your death will be even more greatly celebrated than your birth, because you will come into the presence of the Lord in a way which you have never known. And then He will resurrect us. His work isn't done. I would like to read for you Psalm 23. Because some of you are not convinced yet of what a great shepherd we have. I've been speaking from the shepherd's perspective. I would like to read a passage of scripture for you that speaks from the perspective of a little lamb. Psalm 23. I know that Skip will be explaining this more and more as time goes by. But just briefly for a moment, would you listen to Psalm 23, realizing that it's written from the perspective of a little lamb of God? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm sorry, let's just stop there for a moment. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is a good shepherd. If you have been chasing the wind, looking for satisfaction, may I call you to the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a good shepherd. And when you are in Him, you shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Two thoughts in closing. You know, the little word follow in the Hebrew could easily be translated pursue. Goodness and mercy will pursue the little lambs. Who is goodness and mercy? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. He will pursue His lambs. When He calls you effectually, and when He calls you affectionately, you will know Him because He pursues you. Do you know the other day I was driving down Lover's Lane? And fortunately, I was doing the speed limit. Because out from behind a tree ran a police officer with a radar gun. He ran toward me. I'm driving along in the right lane. He ran out from behind a tree waving the gun. Really, I almost fell off my bike. I'm not kidding you. I'm thinking, it's a crime scene or, you know, somebody's behind me and he's after him. But what he did is he ran right toward my back wheel, and then he stopped and turned, and I kind of kept going, and he went like this to the car behind me, and he stopped him, and he pulled him over. He was pursuing that person, and he caught him. He was either going to catch him or become a hood ornament, okay? He caught him. Do you know, little Lamb of God, that He is pursuing you right now? You've come under the hearing of His word. You have said and sung prayers. He's pursuing you. He's the good shepherd. He knows His sheep. And His sheep hear His voice and follow. Have you heard His voice today? Little Lamb of God, follow Him. Joyfully obey Him. Read His word not with indifference, but with the very essence of your only hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, I want you to think of the Good Shepherd as the door. He speaks of Himself as the door, doesn't He, in this passage? He says, I'm the door. You have to pass through the door to get in. You know, doors are pretty simple, but I've been meditating on the door for a couple weeks. Do you know a door defines who's inside and who's outside? Look, See that door right there? We're inside this door. There are other people outside the door. A door could be made out of wood. A door could be made out of wicker. A door could be made out of gold. A door could be easy to open. A door could take a lot of strength to open. Jesus Christ says He is the door. What does He mean when He says that? Jesus Christ, the door, is the passageway to knowing God the Father. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Lamb of God, you've heard His voice today, and you will follow Him this week. If you're not, you won't. But may I close our worship time this morning by inviting you once again to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? He is your good shepherd. He called out to you, though you are a sinner, with no hope whatsoever in yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ, with a free, a pure, and a strong love, calls out to you this morning and says, come to me, little lamb. I am your good shepherd. In me you shall not want. In me you shall rest. In me you will have a future and a hope. The covenant blessing of knowing God.